The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here are David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
I feel like it was the redundancy department of redundancy. That was like News Talk at 4 because it's 4 o'clock with News Talk. At 4 with News Talk. All right, guys. Hey, welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show, your favorite Tuesday all week. Joining me in studio
is Katie Shook.
And happy to be here because you know what? Tuesday is probably the ultimate weekday. All other weekdays are jealous of Tuesday.
Why is that? I'm waiting for the explanation on this one.
I was saying, Katie.
David likes to tease me with these really random thoughts.
I'm going to talk about Tuesday. Like, what are you going on? So here's the thing, right? People get cases of the Mondays, right?
It's true.
Monday, it's like, oh, man, I missed the weekend. I got to shift back into gear. Tuesday, though, nobody's like, oh, you know, Tuesday, oh, the weekend. I got a case of the Tuesdays. They're like, nope, I got that out of my system. Now I'm just kind of hammering through the week. And so Tuesday, you're at your stride, right?
True.
Wednesday is kind of hit or miss because you're like, yeah, it's the middle of the week. Sure, I'm in my stride, but I'm already like, you know, halfway. I'm kind of getting excited over the weekend.
At the end of Wednesday, people are like, oh, it's hump day. Yay. Like, it's there's this weird kind of celebratory.
Yes. And then Thursday, you're already thinking, can I get a 3-day weekend or what? And
some
if
people
not,
actually have
you're
a 3-day weekend.
Hey, so, yeah, if you're working 4-10s or whatever, you're going, hey, there comes the weekend, right?
Right. Thursday's a new Friday.
But, like, Tuesday never, unless there's a weird Monday holiday, which then, you know what? That's Wednesday stepping up being like, ah, my turn, right? Otherwise, Tuesday is like, look, I'm the sweet spot. I'm the productive time of the week. You've shaken off all the rust. We are full throttle. I'm like, get a car built on a Tuesday, right? It'll be it's the one you want coming off the drive, the assembly line.
Every marketing thing I've attended lately in the last few years have said, if you're going to market, you should market on Tuesday because that's when people are paying the most attention. Like Monday's horrible. Again, from the weekend, everybody's just too busy.
Plus, who parties on a Monday night? You're like, all right, I got a decent night's sleep. I can get to work. It'll be fine.
Right. Like, yeah, Tuesday kind of seems like the sweet spot.
Tuesday
is
the sweet spot day.
And listeners get us. So it makes it even better.
Well, that's really the cherry on top.
Right?
Plus, we all know this is your favorite day ending NY.
Every day is my favorite day.
Aww. So we're delighted to be here. It's the True Wealth Show, and we are finding silver linings everywhere today. Katie and I have discussed this. Enough with the bad news.
I feel like I'm just getting, like, people don't want to listen to bad anymore. So I wanted to spread some love today, right? I wanted to share good news and just positivity.
How about glasses half full? I'm going to tell you that.
How about refill stations, right? Like, whether it's empty or full, go refill it. Like, just go get more.
Yep. I like the half full. And the reason is because the refill one, somebody got cute. You know, invariably that was somebody that's like, you know, at some kind of rah-rah conference where it's like, no, you could refill it, right? And we got to get all woohoo. It's like a motivational speaker thing. And I'm good. Well, it's doses, right? I mean, motivational speaking is good for a dose, but how do you keep going? And the half full thing, that's like a permanent attitude.
It is an attitude. I agree.
Yeah. So that's not it'll be okay. No, it's not that bad. Right. Let's get grounded in gratitude and let's talk about some of the things. And let's also reframe a few things. For example.
Yes.
You know, the economy has been shut down and that's a bummer, but it's also starting to open back up.
Which is exciting.
Okay. Glass half full. So there have been plenty of things that have been what we call the pin action, the knock-on effects.
Right.
And yet, opportunities will emerge.
I've seen a couple of businesses reinvent themselves during this time. People,
necessity is the mother of invention.
I have quoted that at least a dozen times in the last 2 months.
Right. And the other one is, this is a fun term, creative destruction.
What? That doesn't sound good.
It's a real thing. And it's
creative
a very
destruction?
Creative destruction. Sometimes new industries destroy old industries, but it creates whole new opportunity sets. Here's the really simple example, right? there's no horse and buggy manufacturers, right? I mean, there's literally like hand-built by the Amish, but like there's no manufacturer. Like Ford's not making the horse and buggy anymore.
True.
Okay.
You know which one I was thinking of?
Cars. Tesla's trying to reinvent cars.
Face masks. I am now seeing commercials on TV for face masks.
Could they make one where it doesn't seem like you're breathing hot air all the time?
Yeah, I know. Like a little mini fan in there to keep you cool.
Because that's, you know, I'm all about being
safe
and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because my take on this one, and I will just say, when folks are like, well, you know, it's an infringement on your rights. And I go, well, how do you feel about pants? You know?
Yeah. Was it no pants?
No shoes, no shirt. I'm like, you better wear pants. I don't care where you're going. Like,
we're, some people stretch that like, word.
Even in Europe, they're all about pants. I'm just saying. So there's a line, okay? And we just kind of go, we've agreed. It's part of the social. There's one or two of you out there that are like, I don't even like pants. I'm like, I get it. But guess what?
You still got to wear them.
99.7% of the population disagrees with you. It's like, it's not like 5%. It's like hardly any percent. So we wear pants, right? And we're good with it. Everybody's like let that go a long time ago. So the face mask thing, no, I don't like breathing through them, right?
I
like the safety
either.
Part is fine because it's the safety part is like, okay, what's the downside?
But by the way, I want to send a shout out, like, again, some positivity. God bless all of you guys that have to wear them to work because they're not easy to breathe in, and it has changed your work attire, regardless of where you work. If you're working for a place that is now requiring you to wear them where you didn't have to before, so I'm assuming kind of like, you know, non-medical facility, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to do it as an employee and that you're following protocol, whether or not you like it, and I greatly appreciate it because what you're doing is you're allowing people to feel more comfortable around you. What, regardless of your belief.
Right.
So I, again, silver lining, thank you for being positive and supportive. And some of you have really cute, cool face masks, which is kind of fun to see too.
Here's the funny thing about
although you can't
masks.
See if people are smiling.
I know that part's a bummer. And you know, everybody's a bank robber now.
Smile with your eyes.
So that was glass half empty, wasn't it? We're all going to rob banks. Ha ha.
No,
here's the thing.
Glass half
you
full.
Can't get in.
I was going to say, it's the only time.
Good luck at the drive-thru or the ATM. So
it's the only time you can walk into a bank with a face mask on and not be considered a robber.
Yeah, except you can't walk in the bank. That's the thing.
It's
you
true.
Know, right
it's
now,
because it's true.
By the way, lousy investment, facial recognition software. There you go.
So for all those passports and everything else that you weren't allowed to smile in, oh well, you have
exactly
a mask covering
like
most of it
passport
anyway.
Pictures right now. What is that? Oh, they're all doctors. Okay.
By the way, we're just making light of a very heavy situation. We're trying to bring a little laughter to your afternoon today because the world is kind of heavy right now, and I feel like laughter is needed.
Well, the world is really bifurcated. That's for darn sure.
It's what?
Bifurcated? Right? You've got...
David's word of the day. Can you please explain to the listeners what bifurcated is?
Split into two groups.
You couldn't have just said the world is split into two groups. You had to use the word like bifurcated.
Sorry.
I think your 12th grade English teacher's like, I taught him that word. See, he used it today. I've never heard of that word. Sorry.
Our listeners are brilliant. They're all like, I know bifurcated. So
sorry, I'm not brilliant. You need to dumb it down for
whatever,
me then.
Whatever. So the point is more about... I'm going to keep this positive, doggone it. But one of the challenges that we have is that people seem to gravitate toward camps because we kind of make it like an either or. So like you're either, you wear a mask or you don't. And so... a lot of it has become sort of a virtue signaling thing. Like, I wear a mask because I care. And if you don't wear a mask, you don't care, which is not true, just so we're clear. I think of wearing a mask kind of like freedom of speech, right? If you don't want to wear a mask, I don't know a ton of places that are like, you must wear a mask. And somebody's out there going, Costco, it's like, I'm pretty sure, actually, if you have a medical reason or something that, like, Costco's going to try to work with
you. Well, the funny thing is, so Costco's a great example, right? They said, well, we're going to require these. They're handing them out for free at the door. So if you don't have your own, guess what? You get a complimentary one. And by the way, I was in Costco the other day. We had our masks on, and there were a couple people walking around without them. And it's because at some point they're going to be like, no, I can't breathe. They're taking them off. I mean, I don't see anybody getting kicked out of Costco because they're not wearing it.
The point is more about you have the right to walk down the street more or less saying really mean, awful things to people. And provided that you're not hurting them or crossing certain lines, which are really hard to cross, candidly. You know, we have like FCC rules. We say certain things on the radio. It's like, oh, big fines and trouble. So we don't, you're not going to hear us drop in profanity and that sort of thing.
Right.
But the reality is that if you're out in public and you're dropping F-bombs, you kind of have the right to do that.
But people also have the right to look at you funny.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. We took the family on a hike a little while ago, went up to a nice lake, and there was some people, and I'm sure they were perfectly friendly, but, you know, I've got a 4-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 12-year-old with me, and they are just swearing like crazy on the other side of the lake, and it's carrying over the water. My kids can hear it. And, you know, what do I explain as a parent? It's just, well, you know, they just have potty mouth. Right? And, you know, what I have to say, but it's their right to do it. It just makes them jerks.
So
right?
It's,
and so that's the thing is, like, you still have the right. If you don't want to wear the mask, I'm not saying it makes you a jerk. Just be clear. I'm just saying that's kind of where we're at. I don't mind wearing the mask, not because I'm virtue signaling, but because I'm like, okay, look, if it just helps kind of get past this thing, it's a point of friction I don't need. There are other points of friction, and Katie knows this. Like, I get all uppity about where I perceive injustice or things that are unfair. So there are lots of things about the way this has been handled and the economic shutdown that bothers the bejesus out of me.
But we're not going to talk about those today because we're going to keep it positive.
That's not the point today. The point is that most of these things are pretty inconsequential. If you're turning it into a big thing, I'm like, it's pants, right? You know, let's kind of move on for a little while. If it escalates to like, well, now it's the Second Amendment, I'm like, okay, that's a different story. But we're talking about pants.
I'm waiting for Zoom to be like, so it's required to wear pants on a Zoom meeting because there's been so many people that have gotten caught in their underwear. They made it virtually. You now have to start making sure you have pants on.
I'm not going to lie. I showed up at a board meeting and I was in shorts and flip flops. And they're like, wow, is it casual? And I'm like, yeah, it's also sunny because everybody knows that May is just, you know, it's just a summer tease. Right. And so
it
like,
is.
Oh, look, we got a tease day. And I'm like, I'm ready for this thing. And then, nope, psych. Never mind.
Right. So, it's like 85 and then 45. I mean, you know, it's like the weather saw the cops and went, slow down. Just slow your roll a little.
Well, I got a million stories about the, I've been water skiing on Memorial Day. And I've also been freezing on Memorial Day when we tried to go
you've
camping.
You've been snow skiing on Memorial Day.
Really?
Have you ever been snow skiing on Memorial Day?
I don't think so. But
there has been snow on Memorial Day, though.
Oh, yeah. No, there's, we might get snow this Memorial Day, the
talk
way things are shaping
up. Talk about bipolar.
Woof.
All right.
Ha, ha, ha. So, like South Polar?
Oh, that's not even funny.
Okay.
Just not even laughing at that one.
All right, swing and a miss. On that one, we take our first break. So we'll do that when we come back. More silver linings in the economy and the world. Everybody give a hug. It'll be okay. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where we walk because it's safer.
I don't know. I run in this building all the time. I'm like a 5-year-old.
Right. It's actually
not an accurate.
Whatever it takes, right?
I like doing things with enthusiastic excitement.
It's true. But I will also say that you're not going to sneak up on anybody doing it.
No, I am like a rhino. Like, you know,
your
I'm
word's
coming.
Not mine, but
I
you,
know. Hey.
Nobody misses Katie coming. Like, she announces her presence in advance.
Well, at least when I show up, but I don't know about advance, but yeah, it's you're right.
I'm not way in advance, but you know you're on your way.
Not the hide. Not
we
the
had some
hide
stairs
and seek.
Up to the office, and we're like, whoop, there's Katie.
Yeah.
Hi.
No joke. I know. It's, by the way, I love even making fun of myself because it's so true, right? Like, you got to be able to laugh at yourself a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I realize I have volume control issues, which cracks me up because my children have volume control issues and it drives me nuts. But I realize, like, God has a sense of humor and gave me children just like me. So it's me learning to deal with my own issues as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God bless. But yeah, it's funny. You're true. I don't sneak up on anybody.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
I've got a fun one for you.
Go for it.
How do you catch an unusual rabbit?
Oh, I heard this one. What is it?
Unique up on them.
That was...
Wait.
Where did that one come from?
How do you catch a domesticated rabbit?
How?
The tame way.
Oh. So, I'm like, I've heard... So are
Thank
you.
Getting... you. I'll be here all day.
So Geneva's sending out joke of the day. Did you get it from that?
No, I did not.
They did that joke. It must be going viral right now because they did that exact joke
on
the joke of the day.
That one's been around for years.
Oh, my gosh. So I think it's great.
What do you call a light bulb that asks too many questions?
What?
100 watts.
Oh, that's so bad. These are dad jokes, by the way.
Yeah.
Total dad jokes. That is hilarious.
All right.
Dad jokes. All right.
And now for the moment on the show where we do important reminders. The first one is this podcast and all of these quality dad jokes are available tomorrow on our webpage at littlejohnfs.com. And it's possible soon. You should go and check out the website soon because when we change it, then you'll be able to see the changes. Otherwise, it'll just always seem like that. You'll be like, oh, that's lovely. But when we upgrade it, you could go from like, whoa, to, oh, okay. Because, you know, it's like, oh, webpage. But remember, half full. Better.
We are always looking for, there's always room for improvement. And I think even in our business, you know, one of the things that I adore about you, David, is that you're always like, how could we do it better? Right. And it's not that you're ever unsatisfied with it, but it's like, you know, if we're striving to give the best experience always, then there always has to be a little bit of change or renewal. Like, how can we do it better? Is there something better that we can be doing or we can be offering? So it enables growth in a positive manner, right? Like, I don't feel stifled at the office. I don't feel like I can't contribute something without positive creativity. So I appreciate the fact that it's a positive environment. And by the way, so this is a funny little shout out even to David, but today was my first official day back in the office since COVID started, like
right.
First full day. And David, all he does is he walks out of his office and he goes, I'm so excited everybody's here today. I think that's all you said. And then like you walked away to another meeting. But even just hearing that totally made me giggle at my desk. Like, I'm so excited the whole office is here. Like, having that kind of enthusiasm spreads. It sets such a good tone for the rest of the day. Just knowing that your boss is that excited to have you back. And so I would tell you, as employers, let your employees know that you're happy to have them back. Like, that feeling gratitude, feeling appreciated. If they haven't been there, if you know, we were an essential business, so we could have all been there the whole entire time, but due to some personal reasons, some of us weren't. And it was just nice to kind of have that creativity. And I will tell you too, I've come across some very positive people working with the city lately. There's a couple projects.
No, this one's, all right, you got to get this shout out of the way. Katie came into the show, she's like, I got to do this. So we got to do this, right?
I'm going to give a shout out.
This is a props and kudos moment, right?
This is a props and kudos moment. So I'm going to give two shout outs. One to Teresa at Roseburg Water and the other one to Darren at Roseburg Public Works. Because A, they complimented one another. They handed off really easily. Their customer service was excellent. They were very polite. And I mean, it was such a great experience to work with our local infrastructure in such a positive manner. And I don't feel like they necessarily have that reputation, but they're amazing people.
Well, I'm a person that believes that you do business with people, right? And if there was a black eye that government gets, it's because people have a bad people experience.
Right.
Or they have an experience where it seems unnavigable, and so it's frustrating or expensive, right? But when you have a great experience with people, it's amazing how far it goes.
Right. And I mean, there's things, I know for me, I'm always learning, right? And so I feel like sometimes I call and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to ask you a question, but I don't even know if I'm asking the right question. You may have to help me here. It's just nice when somebody's willing to give that extra mile of customer service and really listen to what you're trying to say. And I've had a very positive phone interactions with our local Roseburg community. And so I really greatly appreciate you guys. So thank you for that.
Yeah, there you go. And maybe we should spend more time doing that. Good shout outs for places that are appreciated, right?
Right.
So anyhow, talking about things that are glass half full. And I'm going to talk a little bit, because this is a True Wealth show. So we're going to talk a little bit about your wealth today.
Let's do that.
We're going to talk a little bit about recognizing where opportunities are beginning to materialize. I have to do the disclaimer here that the rest of the program, and actually all of the program, it's not personal advice. That's not the way this works, right? If you have a personal circumstance, we always encourage you to seek somebody that's qualified. And you can see us after class, right? You have a phone number. We have a phone number that you know that you're going to stay on the radio.
541-375-0898. Yeah, so you can call our office. You can email us. You can send us a message on Facebook.
Right. Or you may turn to your trusted professional. Okay, there are lots.
Turn to us. We're fun.
That's fine. We are fun. But I would say go where you need to, somebody that you like and trust that's going to give you the service level that you need. So glass half full concepts. I want us to think about the way that we have invested historically and some of the things that are changing. I am going to nerd out a little bit here. But I want to describe something. I'm going to talk about a term that I don't think has really been coined financially. It's one that I was blogging about I share with a group of other financial professionals.
Okay.
Right. And it's what I termed a financial eclipse.
Ooh, that sounds kind of dark and mysterious.
It sounds mysterious, but it's not dark and mysterious.
Financial eclipse.
A financial eclipse. And what I'm talking about primarily is the S&P 500.
Okay, which is the 500 largest stocks.
500 largest stocks.
Okay.
But here's the crazy thing about it. The top 10 stocks of the S&P 500 now account for approximately 25% of the index value.
Ooh, that's a lot of weighting.
It's a lot of weighting. And so when I use the term financial eclipse, what I mean is those 10 stocks are so big that they kind of block out all the other stocks.
Oh, it's kind of, okay.
Yeah, that so you don't sense. See some of the
it's
activity
casting a shadow
as well.
On everybody else, so yes. They don't really get to shine the way they should.
Well, not even about shining. In this case, it's like they actually hide them. You know, an eclipse is a masking, if you will. So
true.
When the moon passes between the earth and the sun, the moon eclipses the sun. You see the moon, but not the sun.
Right.
Right. It's actually, you know, it's happened a couple years ago and I happened to see the full eclipse. It was fantastic.
I now see
why people chase them around the world. It was kind of a moving experience. It's hard to explain. But in the stock world, we don't get the same moving experience. But I think we need to be aware of what is moving in the markets.
Okay.
And I read some other data that suggests that approximately 56% of the weighting of the S&P 500 now is in technology and healthcare.
That's concerning a little bit.
It's what's telling me is there's this huge concentration in a small group of stocks and in a couple of sectors.
Well, and those are correlated too. I mean, you don't have to have tech in all of med or med in all of the tech, but those definitely go hand in hand.
Right. And I think that there's 11 primary sectors in the S&P 500,
Yeah, but if those two dominate over half?
That's the point.
I mean, come on. How much weighting is the rest of them getting? Like 5 or 10%? Like tiny little bits.
So the point here is to keep the perspective of when the data is eclipsing everything, most investors don't just own the S&P 500.
Right, because they would be indexers.
Well, they're actually indexing is very, very common. If you have a lot of 401k plans and a lot of investments are, in fact, indexes or what we would call phantom indexes.
Ah.
Okay. That's a fancy term, but a phantom index is something that says it's not an index.
But it is.
But it walks, talks, and acts an awful lot like an index.
Right.
You know, when you're going, 92% of what you do is an index, so you're 8% not index.
Yeah.
but you're 92%
it's
index.
It's like buying almost the whole entire store.
Kind of. Okay. So for many investors, they have a more diversified strategy than that. That includes stocks that are not just in the S&P 500. They might be in the small space, like smaller than the S&P 500, or medium-sized companies. They might be in non-United States-based companies. They might be in non-traditional assets like real estate.
Okay, where are you going with this?
They might be in bonds or stocks. Where I'm going with this is that investors need to be aware of what their strategy is. Because I think the strategies are the things that need some work on right now.
Sorry, there's always these really oddly timed things that happen. And right as you were talking about that and you paused, someone outside of the studio went, yay! And it's like, it cracks me up when it's like, has nothing to do with your conversation, but is so appropriately timed. And I know as a listener, you didn't hear it, but it was making me crack up.
Wouldn't it be great if they did?
Sorry, I just had to share.
Yeah, so when you think about as an investor, we just pointed out that we're starting to see really heavy biases to certain areas of the market, and they're kind of driving everything. Right. If you think about the aviation market and the energy markets, they're really beat up. The prices are way, way down. Some technology stocks are at all-time highs. So like today, Nvidia is a stock. They're a chip maker stock, and they do graphics processing and some other kind of cool stuff.
Well, yeah, everybody just bought all the computers. I mean, they're trying to remake everything that they thought they had in inventory.
Well, they also do cool stuff, right? Nvidia does, again, graphics processing is something that more and more we're seeing as we're getting into virtual reality. They're going to play a role. They potentially play a role in autonomous driving. They potentially play a role in artificial intelligence. They happen to be very good at processing blockchain transactions, so things like Bitcoin.
Huh, okay. Interesting.
And blockchain transaction, heck, we could probably, I haven't done the research for it, we could probably do a whole show on blockchain.
Well, we've talked about Bitcoin before in the past.
Yeah, not, Bitcoin is just a representation of blockchain. Blockchain as a technology is fascinating because of some of the things that it can be useful for in the future. Because it's a very difficult to corrupt blockchain, right? So you get a very good chain of custody, if you will, of information. So that's part of the value, is that, you know, once you record the information, it's hard to corrupt it from there. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but it's very difficult because the processor power required would be unbelievable. You know, when you've got millions of processors working simultaneously, you'd need a processor to come in and essentially have more horsepower than all of the other ones combined so that it could out-process them and publish a false signal on a, or, you know, false print on a blockchain. But again, did I mention we're in the weeds?
You mentioned nerd out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of said that. And
so back to strategy.
All right.
The idea is if you're just sort of using a benchmark of the S&P 500, it may not be a great benchmark right now because it's heavily
skewed.
Correct. It's heavily skewed. And if we're designing a strategy and it's very diversified, you may find yourself disappointed that you're not performing as well as the S&P 500.
Interesting.
Because you own all these other asset classes and they're not all moving at the same pace. But if the biggest asset classes happen to be moving at the fastest pace at the same time, it can make the index look like a rocket ship.
And
everything,
it's not.
And everything else looks like a jalopy, right?
A jalopy.
So we need to kind of understand the dynamic of how we're measuring. I think this is important because a lot of investors, if you get to where you're sort of chasing returns, that can be tempting, but it can be dangerous, okay? So the other thing is, if we know that that's where the strategy is, how should we approach adjusting our investment strategy?
Very good question, David.
Right? And what we'll do is, since they make us take breaks, we'll take one. Right? And then I'll tell you strategy adaptation and points to consider right after these important messages. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, doghouse.
Yeah, so how am I digging my way? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, good luck with that. But hey, silver lining. You know.
I get sushi for dinner?
Sure, let's run with that. Okay.
There's always a silver lining.
Really? It's like foil that the sushi comes in?
Yeah, silver lining. See, there okay. you go. We're glad we're on the same page.
Okay, good talk.
Oh my goodness, too funny.
So here we are. Where did we leave off?
We were talking about how are you going to measure the approach strategy. Adjusting your investment strategy.
Yeah.
How are you going to approach adjusting your investment strategy?
Yes. Okay, so.
And what are we supposed to be looking at?
Well, I'm going to talk for a moment about this. I had a great question. It was asked to me by another a colleague, right? So another advisor in our firm. And we were having an investment committee meeting this morning. And he said to me, David. And he has this great radio voice that I can't simulate, right?
Oh, I know, right? He's that belly, that heavy Santa Claus belly laugh.
Oh, yeah, it's good. We're going to get him on the program one of these days. But anyways, so David, tell me, are you somebody that's more, when you invest, is it wind in your face or wind at your back?
Ooh.
And he was going somewhere with this. And then he said,
he's a sailboat guy.
Well, and then he said, well, let's talk. If I was using sailboat, are you going to go upstream, downstream, or are you looking for the change in tide? And I said, for me, I'm a change in tide guy.
Okay. Explain.
All right. So it's a metaphor, obviously.
Duh.
But here's kind of the, what he was going for is when you've got the wind at your back, that's investing into momentum. Are you going to jump onto investments that have a lot of current momentum, hoping that they continue to go further, right? So if technology and healthcare are the big movers right now in the S&P 500, we just talked about this in the last segment, should you go pile into those sectors? So,
yeah, medical and technology, again, okay. Which is a valid question.
Right, and so again, not offering advice here. We're just talking this through.
Right.
Okay. And
great question.
So, you know, there's merit to that. There's some research that indicates that oftentimes things that are moving continue to move. Until they don't, obviously. But what's to say that there's not further to go?
Right.
Especially in a period that's called a breakout, where right now some of these stocks have reclaimed their previous highs. So they're now a little bit higher. And does that mean investors get excited and push them much higher? Because now they're sort of on the radar as, no, they're winning again. Time to hop on the bandwagon.
Right.
Versus...
And by the time it becomes kind of mainstream, it's like the...
Well, the markets are fickle. Lemmings can run a long time. Okay?
Lemmings. Okay.
Yes. So, but then...
Just don't be the dodo bird. Don't jump off the cliff.
But here's, you know, wind in your face. Are you looking for investment opportunities that maybe have a struggle right now, but they're the next... And when I say, well, tide change, maybe the wind's in your face right now, but the tide is changing... And all of a sudden, the wind's going to be at your back, and it's going to become an advantage. You know, not only will you get a change in the wind, but you'll get a change in the direction of the current, and you'll be able to accelerate. These are, again, not recommendations, but let's just talk about an example over the last 2 days. Energy. Oil had a big rebound. Oil was up over 10% yesterday.
So what is it worth a barrel now? Not negative?
Above $30.
Nice. Because it was like negative for a minute.
Well, the contract to take possession of oil futures was negative. Okay. Oil didn't go to like valueless, but they had nowhere to store it. So they were like, please, somebody take this. It's due for delivery. It's got to go somewhere. And he was like, we got nowhere to put it. So they were paying people to take it because it needed to go somewhere.
Right.
But once demand picks up, that oil will have value.
Right.
Right. It wasn't, they just needed a place to store it. So if you think about, The metaphor is, well, the energy just changed. And so if the price is stabilizing, and they have some production cuts, we see the economy opening back up, so consumption's likely to increase. So if that stabilizes the energy market, then that stabilizes a lot of other areas of the economy too and puts people back to work potentially.
True.
So there was a bunch of sort of knock-on effects there. But that is clearly not the same as buying things that were already doing well. In a sense, it's like trying to catch a falling knife. You're trying to pick something up that's at the very bottom and start to ride it back to recovery. Okay.
Yeah, much trickier to do. Because I was trying to think like the wind in your back, I would say, would be something like Amazon. Like Amazon was already growing anyway. And then with this whole thing, I'm assuming, and I haven't looked at it, but I'm assuming Amazon just grew even more because they got so busy. And maybe they didn't. I don't know. But I'm assuming it went up a little bit higher. Like that was kind of like the wind in your back, right? Like Amazon was already kind of growing and has been growing over time, and it's continuing to grow.
It's momentum.
Right.
That's what we say. So does the momentum continue versus are you looking to purchase value or deep value perhaps or no value or you know whatever? But that's the idea is investing is about figuring out where is your opportunity set and trying to adapt to that.
Interesting.
Okay. So they're not mutually exclusive.
No.
You can actually do some of both as an investor.
Right.
And I will borrow from Jim Cramer. He's another television personality and analyst. And for all of his entertainment and shenanigans, I think he's got some valid points in there. He doesn't get everything right like none of us do. Okay. But he talks about the barbell portfolio. And he says, well, you get things that are going to work in an environment where we stay locked down. And then you get some stuff that's going to work in an environment where we open back up. And you kind of covered both bases.
Ah, there you go.
And I think there's some pretty good truth to that. Now, the
you
reality
buy Coke
is,
and Pepsi.
Yeah, the reality is you're sort of hedging your bets, right? Or you know, you buy Zoom and Clorox and Amazon on one side. Again, not advice. But, you know, I'm just saying like, haha.
We're just naming things.
Those are the ones that are like you know continue to you know COVID, right? And then on the flip side, you could go out and buy auto manufacturers and airlines.
Right. Or right? I was going to say like cruise lines.
Yeah. So you can buy the things that
should benefit when everything opens back up.
The trick is, and I've talked
Expedia.
A little bit about this, is the winners and losers. Okay. This is not a glass half empty statement. This is a glass half get real statement. Not everything's going to survive this event.
No.
It doesn't make it right, and I'm not making a claim one way or the other. I'm just saying the reality check of this is there will be damage, some of it irreparable. There will be businesses that are gone and don't come back. Whether they deserve to be gone or not,
we're not even fighting that battle.
Not making that call. What I'm saying is the result of this is that some businesses will fail. And so the economy will look different. Unemployment will look different. But we also just created a lot more money in the system. I say we, the Fed and and Congress
basically
printed
in your pocket?
A bunch of money.
Is it the royal we?
Well, we, the taxpayer, get to pay for it.
Haven't even begun to figure out how that's all going to happen next year.
That you know, the catastrophe just that we've kicked the can down the road for decades, but that can's getting bigger and bigger and that hill's getting steeper and steeper. One day that's going to be a 55-gallon drum rolling down the hill that we can't stop and it's just going to bowl us over. But for now, kick, 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 right?
Silver linings, David. Today's the happy show.
The silver lining of all of this is that to the strategic operator, okay, to the person that's paying attention to what's going on, if you have some discernment about the industries that are likely to survive and thrive versus the industries that are likely to fail, you can position where you think the survival is likely and what will thrive in the new economy after this. Not new economy the way I got to cover this one. This last thing, you know, this new economy word, man, does this get abused? Because you know what it means?
What does it mean?
Well, we'll cover it after our last break. And I'll you know, this new economy, it's abused. We're going to straighten that out. But we got to take our last break. This is David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show that has a podcast at littlejohnfs.com. It'll be there tomorrow.
I can't. Every week, it goes by so fast. I feel like we need like a 2-hour show.
Yes, or just more shows. That would be fun.
Oh, No, we don't have time for that, though.
Well, we will soon. I know, we're going to change the game.
I don't have a beard, but I kind of just want to like stroke my chin a little bit.
No special announcements yet. So
new
economy. Here's the thing. You get this like new economy, new normal, new this, new that. Blech. Okay?
Right?
Blech.
Blech.
Because it's just a bunch of media speak trying to get everybody to pay attention. The new economy, what I'm talking about it is not, oh, well, we have financial numbers that no longer matter. Like companies don't have to make money. That was 1999, by the way. Oh, this .com doesn't make any money. It can go to infinity. It's, you know, who cares if it makes money? The stock is valued at a kabillion jillion. It's like, nope, they failed.
No.
And people are saying that about technology companies right now. We're looking at forward earnings multiple or the, you know, PE ratios for Amazon. It's like 105 or 108 or something outlandish.
What?
Yes, it's crazy high. And then you look at Apple, it's like 24. And I'm like, wait a second here. How does Amazon have four times the PE ratio of Apple? And you know, if you're going to convince me that, well, Amazon's going to grow to be, you know, three times the size it is now.
One of my favorite expressions that you say is like trees grow to the sky, but they can't just grow like forever.
Trees grow toward the sky. They don't grow to the sky, right? They don't. I mean, they stop somewhere under their own weight. And so how does a company that's already the third largest company in the United States, maybe the world, how does that company double in size?
Oh my God, what does that look like?
And not run into things like antitrust legislation and other issues.
Right. Somebody's going to stop them.
So enough of the new economy nonsense, okay? At some point, there'll be a reality check for investors who will say, the future value of my dollar is better placed elsewhere. I don't know when that day is, and I can't give you the advice on that, but I can tell you, pay attention, because these things get out of balance because of momentum. And because people stop looking at the numbers and the profits and just say, well, you got to buy Amazon because they're the game in town right now. Go buy Amazon, Walmart, and Costco because they're the players that are open. Okay, that lasts for a season. But I will just tell you, humans crave other humans.
Isn't that like jumping on the momentum ship like we were just
talking about?
Like, oh, they already have momentum. Yeah. Let's just jump on that one.
So I want to redefine new economy. I'm going to call the new economy what our economy looks like after
after
the pandemic is sort of shaken off. And I'm not going to say it's because there's a vaccine or some nonsense like that. I'm just going to say at some point we will reopen out of a combination of necessity and rebellion because people aren't willing to stay home. They'll just take their chances.
And for me, like the reason I like the word new economy is because it's you know, everybody keeps going, oh, we're going back. And I'm like, there is no going backwards. Like, you can't go back. It's not going to be the same. You still have to move forward. So it's like some of the stuff will look the same and some of it will look different. But there's been a lot of changes happening behind the scenes for a lot of different industries. The education industry.
Yeah.
There's
education.
Changes. It's not going to be the same. You're not going back. You can't go backwards. You have to move forward. But new economy makes it sound like everything's getting wiped out and we're starting fresh. And that's not true either.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in between.
You know, our own government tax receipts are going to be decimated. It's going to change the way that functions. It's going to change.
There's legislation that hasn't even been written yet this year for all the craziness that's happened.
Yes.
Like, let's be honest about that. There was legislation passing for RMDs in December 20th of last year. Like, hello, let's wait till the last week of Christmas or December.
Well, it got changed again.
Yeah.
It got changed again. So essentially the rules are being rewritten on the fly, but we don't quite know what it looks like. But we're taking some educated guesses. We know that the entertainment industry and the travel industry and the restaurant industry are going to look different.
They're bruised right now.
Well, they're bruised and battered, and some are not going to make it. You know, buffets may not survive.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't even thought about that. That's true.
I mean, they may just be gone because you're like, well, you know, you can't have an environment where everybody goes and accesses and you're touching the same serving handles and, you know, germ. It's, you know, we'll all die. Then that model's going to go away. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't be like a cafeteria where everybody serves you and you move down. So, I mean, things could change. But it's going to force adaptation.
True.
And that adaptation, if one is correct about their vision for what it will look like, has an opportunity as an investor to get in front of new trends.
There you go.
So that's what I've been challenging on this show every now and then is, what's your strategy for the new economy, the reopened economy that looks different with different rules? You know, what companies that you can invest in are well positioned in that reopened environment?
Or have modified themselves enough to be new-ish again?
Yeah. So what will they be?
I don't know.
Yeah, and
that's awesome. That's kind of fun to think about, though.
That's the idea.
And right? So like, what are they going to be when they grow up?
But when I say what's the opportunity, you're looking at it, okay? If you're looking for glasses half full, then start to envision what the next phase looks like and where the opportunities will emerge. You're thinking more like an entrepreneur, but that's what an opportunistic investor will do, is if the tide is changing and the direction of the wind is changing, where is it changing to? Seek that.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, there you go. We had lots of metaphors today.
So it's advice, but not financial advice.
And if it's financial advice, it's, well, you know, you're still going to have to go do your homework. That's
it's
the reality.
Open your eyes, because we haven't really given you anything. It's like nailing Jell-O to a tree.
Well, we always say we have funny rules in the financial world. When you're a financial professional and you hold yourself out as an advisor, then if I'm going to offer you advice, it's going to be for you.
Not for everybody.
Now, I can give generic advice like buy low, sell high. Okay, we all get it. That's a win no matter what. Spend less than you make. We get it. That's a win no matter what. Whether or not you should get a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, circumstantial.
Very personal.
Circumstantial.
Whether or not you even qualify.
Ha. Yeah. So,
also circumstantial.
So there are points where you go, well, the advice can carry you so far before it gets personal, and then it needs to be optimized. And that's what we can't do on this show, which is why we always share our phone number with everybody and say, look, if you need that personalized customization, find someone you like and trust. And if you don't have that person, they call
us, 541-375-0898.
That's it. So anyway, there be the music. And that means we are out of time. I'll remind you, lots of ways to reach us. Social, littlejohnfs.com. Send us an email. And we'd love to help
you. Carrier pigeon, whatever.
Carrier pigeon smoke signal is iffy when it's cloudy, but you get me. All right, that's it for now. Until next time, thank you as always. This has been David Littlejohn.
And Katie Shook.
And you've been listening in to True Wealth on News Radio 1240.
KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Littlejohn Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.